Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show, brought to you by West Yorkshire Electrical, this one. Michael's going to tell you about West Yorkshire Electrical now, aren't you?
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, they do things with wires in, solar panels, batteries, like home battery storage, that is, not just normal batteries.
Yeah.
Don't do them.
You could probably take care of that yourself, to be honest.
Yeah, if you need some double A's, just,
yeah,
stand in a supermarket.
But specialists in all things electrical, if it's got wires in it, they'll work with it. Tick, tick, tick. Specialists in renewables as well. So those fancy batteries.
Yeah, fancy batteries.
That's the technical name for them.
Electric car charging,
yeah,
ports.
And
as
you,
well.
And your solar panels as well that go on your roof, to join all this up. And they have roofers within the business. Just the message I wanted us to let you know about. And they will do your roof as well as doing your roof while they do the panels.
Very good, that.
Yeah. Separate. Two things. WYElectrical.co.uk for details. And they're on socials as well. Look for West Yorkshire Electrical. I do see there's a West Yorkshire Electrical digital billboard that I drive past all the time.
To give it a salute.
I do, yeah. Yeah, lead salute every time like that. Yeah, there you go.
I didn't write the copy for that, the billboard. They didn't let me do it.
What? Oh,
surprisingly.
Oh, yeah. It does come as a shock. Yeah, details on the website, wyelectrical.co.uk. For details, Dan, Michael and Phil Hay. Friday show. Hello, Phil.
Hello. Hello.
Are we all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Have we all decompressed a little bit after the excitement of last weekend?
I think so. Been quite nice, isn't it? Empty week.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on.
Did you sofa, coffee, cake?
Yeah. I think that was the order of the day last weekend, wasn't it?
Have we got to the bottom of what cake Farker likes yet?
No, I would ask this, but we're limited to two questions each in a press conference, and I feel like people might get upset.
Oh, have you got any injuries, Daniel?
Yeah,
what tactics are you going to do?
Ask about
the football. Cake.
Look, if people want to know about the cake, then I'm happy to ask about the cake. Maybe we need a straw poll on this.
Yeah.
You know, will Twitter take cake questions, or will people get upset?
Or can't you just collaborate with all the other journalists and just say...
Popey gets unlimited questions, so I'll get him to ask.
Right.
Yeah.
He just piles in there and just takes what he wants. Fine.
What do we reckon, though? I think Black Forest Gattle with Farker.
That feels too obvious.
You think?
Yeah.
It's not even a cake, really, is it? It's a gatto. It's a separate...
I suppose so. It's got cake in it.
it's a bit more like a trifle, isn't it? It's sort of sloppy.
Mm.
Yeah. Nice, like.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, to more important matters. Well, hot off the presses, actually, this morning, Archie Gray called up for the England under-21s.
Yeah.
For the international break that's coming the other side of this Millwall game, which we'll preview. That's good, in it.
It is definitely been coming. He's been playing ahead of his age group for England for longer than anybody can remember, in the same way he's been doing exactly the same for the academy, and it very much feels like an inevitable step towards a full England call-up at some point, undoubtedly further down the line now, but it's really good for him. And, you know, looking in the squad, you've got Harvey Elliott, you've got McAtee, who's really good prospect at Man City as well.
Young lad called Jordan Henderson, do you see him as well?
Yeah, I would definitely pick him until the world stops spinning. 100%. Charlie Creswell's in there also. I think it's fair to say that Archie's had the better of the season compared to Creswell. But Creswell's been a fixture with the 21s for a long time now, so not a surprise that he's in the group. But this is going to be great for a while now if he stays fit, I think, of just, you know, constantly climbing the ladder, of looking better and better. And I very much wonder, given that he's been in the first team all the way through the season anyway, I very much wonder if it's that performance at Chelsea that has made people in the England camp think time to push him on now.
Yeah, and mentioned in dispatches by Gareth Southgate, wasn't it? When I don't know if he was specifically asked about Archie, whether he brought it up, presumably he was asked, but nice for him to get mentioned anyway.
Well, I think he falls into the category of player who, if you're trying to plan a little bit for the future, and I know I know Southgate obviously gets pelters for Henderson and some of his other picks like Maguire, but over the years he has kind of reached into the younger crop of players. He has, you know, pushed through people like Phillips and also Grealish. And that's not to say they weren't obvious picks, but, you know, still needed the call-ups when they came. And as I say, you know, if Leeds were to go up this season and Gray's playing in the Premier League next year, you can't imagine it'll be very long before he's knocking on the door in the same way as somebody like Bellingham, you know, has started doing now that he's over at Real Madrid.
In terms of Calvin Phillips as well, perhaps an interesting warning from the future for Archie Gray. In other words, don't ever leave us.
Mm-hmm. Don't think you can do better.
No.
It will only go badly.
Yeah.
The grass is definitely never greener.
Don't have ambition.
Correct.
And don't go chasing these medals.
I'm sure Bellingham would be doing better if he just stayed at Birmingham. Yeah. To be perfectly honest.
Yeah, we'll just forget him as the sort of counter, I mean, counter
what's,
argument.
What's Bellingham even done since he left Birmingham?
Well, quite. Yeah.
I've lost track of him, to be honest.
Yeah, he's just gone off the radar completely.
Some random German club that nobody's ever heard of, and now doing something in Spain. Yeah.
But isn't it interesting what's happened to Calvin? His career's just completely derailed, and for whatever reason, it just goes to show, doesn't it, how if you lose the momentum of playing week in, week out, and he's not been able to force his way into that Man City side under Pep Guardiola, and before you know it, you're kind of out in the cold. He clearly doesn't rate him, does he? He doesn't think he's up to snuff.
Guardiola? No, I don't think so, no.
And he's been farmed out, and all of a sudden, the career's just, I mean, it's not our problem. Not our problem anymore. It's just, I think it's interesting.
And it hasn't gone well for him at West Ham, which surprises me, actually. I thought it would have been a good move. I thought it would have been quite a good fit. I suppose the way in which I sympathise, I'm a big fan of Phillips and liked him a lot in the Bielsa era. The toss-up for him was, there's always a chance, isn't there, when you join City that you're not going to make the grade, because you're talking about the best of the best and absolutely elite players. So you have to be that good. And particularly with Guardiola, it's not as if you can get away with being a certain percentage below the kind of standard that he's after. It just doesn't work. And you've seen before that he's pretty ruthless with footballers when they either don't fit or when there's issues, you know, personality-wise, attitude-wise, you saw it with Cancelo. So I understand why Phillips went for that move. And I think at the time when he wanted to do it, he was kind of at peak value, wasn't he? And you've got to remember, he moving towards his kind of mid to late 20s, late starter in the game. I don't think when he looks back, he'll necessarily regret taking the gamble of going to City. I think he'll regret the fact that it hasn't particularly worked out. But in the kind of grand scheme of England, if he was playing, I don't doubt that he would be in the England squad under Southgate, given that Henderson is still getting picked. But I do think as you move on from Southgate, which might happen after the Euros coming up, and you get a different coach in, I always wondered whether that might be the end for Phillips in England, certainly when it comes to starting games regularly. Because if you go for a different system or a different style, dare I say it, a bit more tactically adventurous, then does he fit? Do enough players like him fit in the way that they have previously under Southgate? I'm not so sure that they do. So perhaps this was always coming, but it's been I think this season more than last, it's been a bad one for him, isn't it?
Yeah, not being good. And Ben White as well, former Leeds player, doesn't want to play for England, which is, I don't know, you wonder if, does he bring himself back into the fold after Southgate goes? Perhaps he does the opposite of Calvin.
You do wonder what's going on there, and you wonder what the politics are behind the scenes. I think with Gray, Phillips, obviously somebody you could use as an example of saying, look, if you make the wrong move at the wrong time, this is kind of what happens. Again, I think Phillips would probably argue about whether it was the wrong move, argue about whether it was the wrong time. He might say that
his bank balance would say differently.
Well, there definitely is that. But Ampadu, I think, is quite a good comparison in that he went to Chelsea, didn't really work out for him at Chelsea, a lot of loan moves, trying to get into the first team, never made it into the first team, has gone to Leeds, been very, very good. And actually, as a result of going to Leeds, might have his best shot at the Premier. I know he's played in the Premier League before, but might have his best shot at playing there and sticking there as a consequence of deciding to do this. So it's difficult, isn't it? If you're absolutely elite, like Bellingham is, and Gray looks like he might be, then there comes a day where you're probably going to have to make these decisions, and you're going to have to say yes or no to, you know, really, really tempting offers. So as I say, I do know where Phillips was coming from when he asked to go and he asked to take that opportunity on. But I think whereas last season he could probably have been philosophical about, you know, not being involved as much as he wanted to, this season has just been a bit of a disaster.
It's the use of the peak years in the way that he has done as well, because he's in his peak years now, isn't he? And suddenly his career's just completely derailed. Like I said before, it's not our problem.
It's a strange trajectory though for Calvin, because at Archie Gray's age, I don't think anyone saw him as being an England player.
No.
And a top four Premier League player that the team would sign for big money. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it became that. And now he seems to have gone back almost to where
Do you think he's kind of regressed to the mean a little bit without Bielsa? I mean, it's daft, isn't it? Because Bielsa's obviously a really, really elite coach in terms of, particularly in terms of player development. Guardiola, obviously a very elite coach as well, but possibly in a slightly different way. And it worked under Bielsa, but not under Guardiola.
I think you'll need a bit of time yet to be able to decide on that definitively, because that you can't forget that when you're talking about City or Real Madrid or whoever else at that level, you need to be the best of the best. And there's no shame in not being quite up to that standard. I still think Phillips is a really good Premier League player, but he needs to find somewhere to settle now, and he needs to find somewhere where he's got a coach who genuinely believes in him as a first team player and a starter and a system that works for him as well. If you read some of our coverage that Sam Lee's done of City and of Phillips, he has said in that in the early days after Phillips signed and Guardiola was watching him doing what he needed to do, there were already kind of little doubts about whether he was going to quite be up to it. And that's because of how extreme the demands are. I mean, at 18, at the age that Gray's at now, Phillips wasn't actually long into the academy at Leeds. He was really late arrival in comparison to most. And when we did a piece on the centenary, I was speaking to various people through the decades. I had a chat with Richard Naylor, who was captain when Leeds went up in 2010. And he worked in the academy. He was under 18's coach when Phillips was in that group. And he said, you know, there was quite a serious discussion about whether they were going to keep Phillips on. Whereas with Gray, you've kind of been like, you know, get this guy tied to senior contract from the age of about 11. With Phillips, there was some doubt and, you know, he had to kind of prove himself. There had to be a bit of a discussion about whether to keep him on. And I think if you look at Phillips' career path and what's happened with him, he's done incredibly well to end up at City. I mean, really, he has, but it hasn't worked.
I mean, because there were plenty of people who would have happily shipped him out. You know, even going back to the summer where we sold Ronaldo Vieira, there were people saying, oh, well, I might have kept him and sold Phillips.
Well, we weren't doing this podcast back then, were we? Or at least I wasn't on with you guys for this podcast. And I'd be quite interested to know what we'd have all been saying, because I've said a few times at that point, he just looked a bit generic.
I think the truth was the money wasn't there for Phillips, was it? Whereas the Vieira had a good season and there was a decent offer on the table for him. Whereas if we'd have got rid of Phillips at that point,
a few million.
Would we have got £1 million for him?
Yeah.
Probably.
It's funny, isn't it?
Hard to know. Whereas what Bielsa was saying to Radrizzani when he sold him for £7 million was, if you keep him, he'll be worth twice as much next year. But they needed the cash and they used the money to get Bamford. And, you know, it's just the way the water flows, really. But yeah, it was a strange period for Phillips. He just couldn't quite make himself fit. And I think he would say himself, he never imagined himself being the sort of defensive pivot that Bielsa turned him into. And that's going to go down as the absolute purple patch of his career.
Absolutely. And just with reference to Archie, now he's turned 18. I think we mentioned in one of the shows last week that he can now be given another contract. Because when you're under 18, it's a maximum of 3 years, isn't it? So is that in the pipeline, do we know?
Well, it was signed a while back. Like 2 months ago, I think it was January time, where he agreed that extension. And our understanding at the time was that it would kick in when he turned 18.
Right.
So they've got him on longer term. So that runs to 2028. When you're 17 and you're first able to sign a pro contract, the rules on how long you can sign are very strict. So you can't just give somebody a 10-year deal in the way that they would probably love to have given Gray a 10-year deal. But this now ties him down to 2028, which is a long, long stretch, by which time he'll just about be in his 20s.
Would it be unethical to make him and his brother Harry all sign contracts where, in case they have any footballing kids,
tie them all in?
We want the whole...
That's a really good idea.
The whole Grey dynasty has
I think we have moral rights to them.
Yeah. Moral rights.
Yeah.
Should we test that one in court?
That's a great idea. That is surely the next line of attack for recruitment in football, is that you start saying to talented players, we want first dibs on your kids if they're any good.
Well, I was going to say, we've heard the rumours of certain clubs, you know, feathering the nests of parents to try and incentivise them to come into their academies. You know, it might be, oh, look, we'll put you a new kitchen in and things like that. And, you know, we'll give you air travel here, there and everywhere, whatever it might be.
So poor Archie's son wants to be like an aeronautical engineer, but he's told, no, unfortunately, you've got to go into the academy. You've no choice.
Well, sorry, son, but we signed you over. We gave you full rights to
when
Leeds
I was
United
17,
in perpetuity when I was a child. So there's that. That's a bit of a problem.
I mean, joking aside, if you were going to gamble on one family for that, you'd go with the Greys, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah, the genetics are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is something really delicious. And you imagine, you know, Archie's spoken in that kind of wide-eyed, youthful way about, oh, I wanted to lift the Champions League and win a Ballon d'Or with Leeds United. And, you know, his ambitions may shift in future years, but I'm sure they won't. I'm sure they won't. But there must be something alluring, the idea of having him and Harry Gray in the same side at the same time. Like, you know, from a family point of view, imagine like what that's going to feel like from a fan's point of view. And you saw like Eddie grinning in the stand against Leicester when Archie banged in that goal, which is his, by the way. We're awarding it to him.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
What that'd look like with Harry in the side as well, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Well, given what's going on with Harry and given what people are saying about him and given that what they've been saying about him for years, you'd probably put pretty good money on it. I mean, remember back when, before we were sort of kind of talking about them by name, and I used to say, oh, there's some kids in the academy who are doing really, really well, but we're not, you know,
yeah.
They're so young that it's not really appropriate to start bigging them up at this point. Well, it was really Harry rather than Archie, even though people thought Archie was excellent. It was Harry more than him that was kind of making waves because of the number of goals that he scored. I've probably told you this before, but I went up to interview Eddie for the Istanbul feature that we did back in 2020, and he said to me, I was away watching my great-nephew over the weekend, and I think they'd been at Bolton or somewhere like that. And I said, oh, how did he get on? He said, oh, he scored 8 goals. I said, what, 8 goals? He said, oh, he just does that every week. Yeah, no, he just, you know, bangs them in, 5 here, 6 here, 8 there. And he wasn't even joking either. So, yeah, there's a really good prospect there. In the same way as Finlay Gorman was, you know, is a really talented player, but has obviously now gone over to to City.
Ruined his career.
There is some real talent still coming through that academy. It never fails, really.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millwall on Sunday then.
Yes.
Looking forward to this one. Last one before the international break.
It's strange, wasn't it? 2 weeks without
a game. I know. I felt a little bit lost this week without some sort of midweek.
Yeah, I think Farkas should just do 2 presses a week anyway.
I bet he really enjoys them, doesn't he?
Oh, he'll be looking forward to today's immensely. Yeah, you can talk a bit more about strike.
Yeah, I'm quite looking forward to the international break, I have to say. And
yeah,
the announcement of the England squad as well is good because it allowed me to see who England are playing in this. Because you see announcements of the squad against...
Who are they playing?
Brazil and Belgium. Oh, good.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Right,
be good
then.
But no, I'm seeing it more as a Leeds United break as opposed to an international fixture.
Do you reckon when they were looking at this international break, they're just like, they started at the top of the list and they've gone alphabetically, like Argentina not available, Austria busy, and they've gotten to the B's.
A couple of good B's. I mean, they're quite good games.
Bolivia, so went for Brazil.
If only Gareth Southgate wasn't the manager, it could be a couple of exciting games.
Yeah. No, no, that's very true, Michael. But no, I'm the same as you. I'm now sort of viewing this end of the season as a sort of a whole entity, if you like. And I think this is the last chance to, well, first of all, it's to put down a marker, isn't it, on Sunday. Can we win and go top by, so it's 2 goals we have to win by, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then go into the break with that as a thing. And what does that thing look like from a psychological point of view? I think it's quite significant.
I think it is.
And then we come back with 38 games on the board and it's the 8 game running. And then we can start to look at the table in a couple of games time because Daniel Farke told us.
He did. Yeah, he did. He said, what, 5 or 6 games to go? We're all permitted. I was saying to you beforehand, and I know that ifs and buts are a bit pointless, but Ipswich are very close to winning at Cardiff and obviously got done really, really late on in injury time. Had they held out there, there's a real, genuinely real chance that Leicester could have dropped to third this weekend, which is pretty extraordinary. And it's not even as if Leicester have done a whole lot wrong. The recent form's not been good, actually. It's been defeat after defeat piling up in the past 3 or 4 weeks, and it has cost them the league position. Although you'll remember Maresca after the game at Elland Road saying, this is going to be way tighter than people think. You know, this is just, I didn't really understand why he said that. I think he's been honest. I didn't really understand why he decided to say that, but he didn't feel like sort of the positive message that you'd want to spread. But he's right, and that's how it is.
I was surprised with that a little bit. But what's the reason, Michael? Why is it that Maresca said that? Is it because
he's a bold frog?
That's the reason.
He realizes he's been found out.
Yeah.
If only you could lose your hair as well, we could have three in the studio.
It'll happen before long, don't worry.
Fantastic.
This fucking football team.
The fullbacks are pushing on.
They always have been, but the stress of watching Leeds is, I mean, I'm actually only 25 years old. You know that?
Yeah.
It's just aged me horrifically.
It was kind of odd that though. And if Ipswich win this weekend, they're at home to Sheffield Wednesday, and Leeds win this weekend.
Pervader masterclass.
1 point separating the top three.
Do you think the stuff going on at Leicester will be having an impact? Because I know, in theory, footballers on the pitch are quite separate from boardroom stuff, but a lot of those players must know that their future probably lies elsewhere, whether they go up or down next year, because one way or another, Leicester are going to have to sell a good number of them.
It's like us last year with the loan clauses, wasn't it? You now look at it in retrospect and you wonder, well, these players knew that they could all just bail out, so does it kind of reduce, even on a very low kind of percentage level, just take a few percent off your performance and you're out? But what do you reckon, Phil? You seem to be not convinced.
I just don't think that stacks up compared to the results they've had for most of this season. They're going through a kind of difficult patch at the moment. You're right about the PSR aspect, in that there will be that minor concern down there that it seems to me like the time frame's too tight now to the end of the season for the EFL to actually do anything. But there must be that little concern that the EFL are going to try and wade in on this. And if there was to be a points deduction or sanction of that nature, then it obviously changes everything quite significantly. And given that they're already in breach of PSR, or so we think anyway, but it certainly seemed to indicate that in the document that was released last week, they cannot afford not to go up this season. Otherwise, that's going to handicap them more and more. And this, I mean, I wrote about PSR at Leeds this week, because Leeds have managed to stay compliant, so they tell us, to this point, and I have no reason to doubt them. And I think one of the frustrations at Leeds is that they have actually made the effort to be PSR compliant. It's been tricky, and people have seen the sale of Sinisterra last month. That was for less than the option that Bournemouth had to take him at the end of the season. And given that Bournemouth clearly wanted him, financially, you would have thought it would have made sense to have waited till the end of the season and do it at a slightly higher level. But by taking the money last month, it falls into this accounting period, and that should make sure that they are compliant. And I think...
And what it does do, Phil, sorry to interrupt, I was just going to say, it's money in the bank for a player with a bad injury record, and you better to have the money in the bank. If you're intending to sell him, maybe, if that tidies things up from a financial point of view, get the money in the bank, then he's their problem.
There is definitely that as well, yeah. But one of the annoyances at Leeds is that they have tried to do that in a way that other clubs haven't. And also, you know, going back to the Rafinha and Phillips sale, that was the loss of two of the best players. It would be wrong to say that that was totally related to PSR. Radrizzani said to us in that long interview that he did before the last season in the Premier League that they'd got to the point where they just couldn't keep buying players without selling players, you know. So there was a recruitment aspect to that as well. But, you know, come the summer, and I was saying this in the piece, if Leeds don't go up, then they will probably have to, well, almost certainly have to sell some players in order to make sure that the books are balanced from a PSR perspective. But for Leicester, it's possible that that's having an impact. I think what will probably be harder for them psychologically will be the way in which the table's turned, and also the fact that you're already past 80 points. What are they on? 82, I think, Leicester. And your chances of automatic promotion, even though there are so many games to go, are still massively at risk. And it's gone on for everybody this season. You've got Leeds, who are on this long, long run, unbeaten run, mostly by winning games, who are still, you know, only sort of narrowly clear of Ipswich and aren't in first themselves, sitting in second place. You've got Southampton, who had that long run, who are a little bit in danger of losing touch at the moment. And I know they'll have games in hand, but you just don't want to be in that scenario. Now, you want points on the board, right?
I was going to say, their games in hand, Phil, as well, have all been backloaded to after Easter.
This is it, you see.
And so I think they're doing it's Preston, and then it's Leicester Southampton, isn't it? Or is it Leicester Ipswich, whichever. One of the top three, four. Are playing each other, but that's happening in the penultimate week of the season and the one before that. So if they find themselves further out of touch, it then means they have to win every single one of those games in order to get up there. And particularly because it is Leicester Southampton, isn't it? The one that was
that's the game that was rearranged. Yeah,
yeah. So
Leicester have no game this weekend. Southampton, well, sorry, Leicester are in the FA Cup this weekend, but there's no league game. And likewise, Southampton.
I was going to say, suddenly, that fixture looks huge, doesn't it, towards the end of the season? As I was with Southampton, always you looked at that and thought, that could be spicy if there's something on the line there. But that one, even more so.
But, you know, what I was saying about Leicester, I don't think any of the top four have done a right lot wrong this season at all. It's just that, I've been watching recently the Netflix series on the Tour de France, you know, the Unchained series, which is great, actually. Really enjoyed that. But it's basically like that. Somebody's going to get killed on the climb up the Alps, you know.
Who's getting the blood transfusions?
You answer that.
Nah. we'll give that one a swerve.
They don't do that anymore, Daniel.
Oh, is that not? Has that been out? Have they stopped? Yeah. Have they knocked that one on the head since it all came to light? Yeah, yeah.
Do any of them need inhalers because they've got asthma?
Yeah. I am sure it's all completely above. But now that we've found out about that, there's no shenanigans going on in the background.
If you've never watched that, though, honestly, great series. And the thing that's dead interesting about it is once you see the footage of inside the peloton, like how fast they go. Put it this way, you know the group of us that did the walk from Wales, if you put us all in the peloton going at that speed on bikes, it would be total carnage. They're so close to each other and they're going so fast, I don't know how they stay apart. So it's great sport.
Oh, look, I've got to go uphill. It's fine going downhill.
The speed they go uphills, I think fair play to them on the drugs.
Yeah.
Fill your boots.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
If it makes it a bit easier. To get to the top and so on. But yeah, Millwall specifically this coming Sunday, a game that, you know, when you examine it on paper, the stats, the relative performance, Leeds should win. We shouldn't go into it holding any fear. We've just got to, I guess, stay focused and turn up.
Yeah. Don't do a day like that Lasoga day, which was kind of classic really, wasn't it? It doesn't happen too often that at Elland Road with Millwall. It's over the years, I've certainly found that the difficult games against Millwall have been at the Den as opposed to at Elland Road. I think they've done the right thing by going for Neil Harris. It doesn't look to me like the sort of appointment that is going to do big things for you two or three years down the line. But the thing about Harris is there's very few people who understand Millwall as a club, as a fan base, whatever else, better. They were starting to look unbelievably soft and flimsy under it. I think, like with Edwards, you're looking at him thinking this could be a kind of appointment for the future. You know, this could be a bit of a project, something. But when it starts to go wrong, you have to say to yourself, do we want to get relegated? No, we don't. And they were looking like that's exactly where they were headed. Harris, I think, will probably get them out of it. And you can understand why.
And overall, if they'd probably left Gary Rowett in charge, they would be somewhere in mid-table right now.
Probably would be, yeah.
Again, you could apply the same to Birmingham, couldn't you,
Just don't mess with stuff.
I mean, Birmingham, I don't understand at all. Yeah.
Birmingham, by the way, are still, you know, there was the big hoo-ha around Tom Brady and all that when they beat us right at the start of the season, and that's all just gone completely quiet. Their Twitter account, in the bio, it still says, and it's something I flagged up earlier in the season, Birmingham on the rise again. Currently sat in 21st. Did they sack him when they were, what, 6th or something? 7th?
Mm. Well, also, there was no clamour at all among the players for Eustace to go. You know, they were all really quite shocked that it had happened. And then Rooney came in. That was just a shambles of an appointment. Obviously, got sacked after that defeat at Elland Road. They don't seem to have a clue, really.
No. Just looking at Millwall's recent form, their wins have come against Southampton. Obviously, they won down there at St Mary's, which came as a bit of a surprise, but has helped us to some degree.
I don't doubt that the Harris factor probably played a part in that.
That was his first game, wasn't it? I think they probably dug in. Then after that, it was beating Watford at home, who've since gone on to sack Ismail. You've got a draw at Blackburn, and then more recently, they've beaten Birmingham. So Birmingham, obviously, down there struggling as well. They are on 43 points, and that leaves them 5 points clear of Huddersfield in 22nd.
It's not an easy game, this, I don't think.
No, it's... I probably view it on a similar level to the Sheffield Wednesday game in that we are clearly superior to them, but we just need to make sure, like I say, we stay focused and we play the game and not the occasion.
The main thing again will be not conceding. I think that was the big thing at Hillsborough, was that, okay, there was the big save from Millie, but it was pretty tight again at the back and there wasn't a lot given away. And because of that, you kind of felt and you knew that there would be moments where Leeds would come up with big opportunities, big chances, and would probably take them as they tend to. And I can see it being very similar on Sunday.
Question directed mostly to Michael, I think, this one, from a fan's perspective. Given that there is just no room for anybody to blink at the minute where it comes to this promotion chase, like me, are you looking forward to this game? Like, in years past, I would have looked at this and gone, oh, I don't fancy this one much, and start to shit your pants now with, you know, the 38th game of the season and everything on the line. I'm looking forward to this. Are you looking forward to it yet?
I've made that mistake before.
Right. You've been burnt too many times.
Yeah. But no, I am. I mean, we keep winning, don't we?
Yeah.
So it's hard not to when you get a run like this. And the fear with Millwall is probably a goal from a corner, and then we spend the next 70 minutes waiting for them to take a throw in and a goal kick. And yeah. it pans out like a lot of games have this year when we've struggled, where there's the ball's just, it feels like it's never in play and it's broken up, series of fouls from both sides. It ends up because everyone ends up getting frustrated, I think, when games go like a bit like the Huddersfield one did, where there's just not a lot of football played. So that's my fear for it. But early goal, I don't expect them to play an awful lot of football. It's going to be backs to the wall, I would think, from the off. And they would see a point as being a great result from this. So let's just score early and win 2 or 3-0.
That feels like the key to it, doesn't it? If we score early, it changes the shape of the game. Or, Phil, as you say, if it's a little bit hit and miss early doors, is to not concede primarily, because you hope eventually your quality is going to tell there.
That's what they've been so good at this season, Leeds. They are a really strong attacking unit and they've got a lot of flair up front, but they're very good at not letting games get away from them or not getting themselves into trouble in games and then having... I know that was a bit of a theme before Christmas of that happening, especially away from home, but not since the turn of the year and actually since the end of August, pretty rarely. The fact that they've got the chance to go top this weekend, I think if they do that, if they get that opportunity for the first time, they do it and they go top, I think it's a big statement. I think it is. I think it'll be noticed elsewhere. And I think it will... You know, a few weeks ago, I didn't really think that Leicester would be in a situation where they might start to panic, because I couldn't see them dropping points at a rate that would let everybody close in, but it's kind of happened. And I think if they come out of this weekend with Leeds top and Ipswich a point behind in third, then it'll be getting pretty anxious.
Mm. Bring it on.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at Millwall's last few games, and bear in mind they're in a good run of form, but their last four games they've completed 225, 201, 169 and 120 passes.
Right.
So they don't play a lot with the ball.
No, and they're not going to come to Elland Road and plan to play a lot with the ball on Sunday, I don't think. You know what the shape of this game will be.
Yeah. But Southampton is the cautionary tale there, isn't it? Because 120 completed passes, Southampton 1, Millwall 2.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's defend well, isn't it? Do you make any changes or do you run with the same side?
I think you probably just go with the same side, don't you?
Dan James come in maybe?
Well, yeah, Nanto scored though, didn't they? So
it's... I get the feeling that if everybody was 100%, Farker would prefer to have James there than Nanto. I think it's quite marginal. I don't think there's a problem with either of them playing. But it feels to me like he leans a bit more in terms of kind of trust and reliability to James than he does to Nanto. At the moment, I don't think I'm seeing much sign of him going for Byram at left back over Firpo. I mean, Firpo interests me really, because I don't think defensively he's looked great this season at all, but we wrote about him at the start of this week and they're kind of noticing that he has more assists alone than all your other fullbacks combined, and that's a big factor, you know, yet another player who's managed to contribute in that way. And just interesting that last summer, you know, before the season started, Farker basically looked at him and said he can be of use in the Championship, actually, even though, you know, might need to go when we go up, if we go up, and, you know, it might not be right for the Premier League. In this division, we can tease a bit of form and a bit of value out of them, which they have. So, yeah, I don't think it will change.
Do you think Roberts maybe for the slightly more grizzled Championship bastard option at fullback?
I just don't see it. Really. I don't see Gray coming out of the team. I don't see the justification. I think if you were in the dressing room saying he's a grizzled Championship bastard, people might go, doesn't seem like much of a so much justification, boss. Yeah.
I mean, Archie is now 18, you know. He's an adult. He could be classed as a grizzled Championship bastard by the end of this season. He's played so many minutes.
Let's hope we don't turn him into that.
Good God, no.
He's got at least another 15 years, I think, before he looks like one.
In the Championship?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what he's going to need. He's never going to fall into that category.
He need only look to his dad if he wants to see a grizzled Championship bastard.
Right, if you're in North America, by the way, have a look at luamericas.com. The guys there have asked me just to say hi and give them a shout out as well, because they've got like 30 supporters groups in cities dotted across North America. So if you're in like States, Canada, whatever, come together under the one umbrella. So there's now that website and you can join a group and you can go watch games together if you want. So luamericas.com, check that one out. Back after the Millwall game, then, Phil, and we'll debrief and see how all of that went and what we look like heading into the international break then, yeah?
Yes, for real.
Let's do it. Here we go. 3 points on Sunday. We'll speak to you afterwards.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.